Please turn with me to Romans chapter 5. All right, so I don't know about you guys, but I personally like me some food, particularly at the end, something called dessert. Right? Yeah? Yeah? Okay. So, my favorite dessert, I'd say, would be a cherry pie. Okay, so let's take, for instance, cherry pie. It's so good. So good. Weston would probably say, like, lemon meringue or something, right? Yeah, lemon, I get that. That's good too. But think your kind of pie. So I'll say cherry, you have whatever you want. All right, so when you make a pie, there's some ingredients you need. You gotta have the crust, all the stuff that goes into there. You've gotta have the gooey inside that makes it so delicious because that's what pies are all about. And most importantly, it needs to have sugar. If you don't have sugar, you don't have a pie. Like, it's not a dessert, it's not sweet, it's trash, okay? No sugar, no pie, all right? Maybe artificial sweeteners or something could work, but who knows? Sugar in the pie is gonna be all the way through it. It's gonna be mixed into the crust. It's gonna be mixed into the gooey inside. It's gonna be part of the biology of the cherries, which is why cherry pie is one of the best pies. All right, I digress. Romans chapter 5. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only that, but we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance character, and character hope. Now hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who is given to us. Thank you. So let's look into this here. It says, therefore, having been justified by faith. First part of the passage, first thing we need to look at. I like how it says, therefore. That obviously indicates that there was something before. There were another four chapters in Romans before chapter 5. Therefore, having been justified by faith. The first four chapters of Romans illustrates how we've been justified by faith. To, I think the best typifier of this, if that's a word, is Romans 4:3. It says, for what does the scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. There's that justification by faith. And again, it says, he, meaning Abraham, in verse 20, he did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God. And, verse 21, being fully convinced that what God had promised, God was able also to perform. That's the faith. When you believe that what God has promised, he will do that, that's having faith. We have been justified by faith. Now, once upon a time, we were enemies with God. Colossians makes that very clear. It reads, and you, in chapter 1, verse 21, and you who once were alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now he has reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and blameless and above reproach in his sight. That's the justification. We are enemies, we've been justified. And notice the first part of verse 23, if indeed you continue in the faith. Justification is by faith. It's not independent of that. So because of this, back to Romans 5, it says, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Where does this peace come from, that once we are enemies and now we're reconciled? It comes through Jesus Christ because we have had faith in him. So faith results in peace. Then on to verse 2, it says, through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also, meaning Jesus Christ, we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand. Now what is grace? Grace is simply everything that we receive from God. It's all the gifts that have been poured out on us. It's what we stand in. So the grace, our faith is a grace, justification is a grace, peace is a grace. And lastly, it adds, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. This hope is a grace. So what, we already know what faith is. Faith is believing God. Faith is taking that step forward and saying, okay, God, I'll trust you. When I go into this, when I go into this summer that's been wrecked by COVID, you've got it under control. I'm just gonna go forward, do what I know that you want me to do, as indicated by scripture. That is faith. So what is hope? How is hope different from that? Hope is future. So faith is a present action. Hope is future. Hope is fueled by our faith because hope is knowing that our faith today will bring results tomorrow. Our faith in God today will bring results tomorrow. What are the results that we will receive from this hope? It says we have hope of the glory of God. Isn't that awesome? The glory of God. What is glory? Glory is adoring something, loving it so much, knowing that it is awesome, it is fantastic, that's where we should put all of our focus on. That is glorying something. Who is God? Well, he's God. God is the one that we hope in because he keeps his promises. God is faithful, as someone I know said last year rather frequently. God is faithful, you can trust him. And he is the one that will bring us our promises. Some of the promises he throws out here, you don't have to turn with me, but it says in Haggai 2, 6 through 7, "For thus says the Lord of hosts, once more, it is a little while, I will shake heaven and earth, the sea and dry land, and I will shake all nations, and they shall come to the desire of all nations, and I will fill this temple with glory, says the Lord of hosts." What does God promise to us? What can we hope in? That someday our desire, the desire of all nations, the one in whom we get everything that really makes us inwardly joyful, the one who is glorious, the desire of nations, he will come and we will glorify him. That's our hope of the glory of God, that someday we know that God is going to come to us and we can be with him. It also says in 1 John 3:2, it says, "Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be." So we don't know everything that's in the future, but we know that when he is revealed, he being God, we shall be like him, for we shall see him, the desire of nations, as he is. That's our hope, that we can look to the desire of nations. Now we sort of got hints there, but furthermore, if you turn over very shortly to Romans 8:17, not only will we get to see the glory of God, but when we partake, when we see that glory, we will also partake of it. It says in verse 17, "And if children," being that we are children of God, as said in verse in John, 1 John, "and if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him," and I'll get to that later, "that we may also be glorified together." So we will partake of the glory in the future, the glory of God in the future. That is our hope. So the faith that we start with will result in hope. And this is a hope that, as it says at the end of verse 2, we can rejoice in. This is a hope, we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. And not only that, but we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance character, and character hope. So not only do we rejoice in hope, but we glory in the fact that we know that we will receive more hope through our tribulations. We already know that in the future we will see God's glory, but there's a way to get even more hope. So going back to the cherry pie example earlier, we have a recipe here for hope. All right, so at the very beginning, chapter 5, verse 1, it says, therefore, having been justified by faith. So faith is our first ingredient. That's the sugar that has to be there for a pie. All right. Now, when you add to our faith, when you add to that tribulations, and you start mixing that together, when we are faithful during our tribulations, when we act faithful in our suffering, the ESV reads suffering, we persevere. Now, suffering doesn't simply occur like when you're being martyred. This isn't just talking about getting your bowels torn out by lions. This is really any kind of suffering. Suffering happens all the time in a sin-cursed world between believers and unbelievers alike. So really, tribulations, why would we glory in them if we have bad stuff to happen to us, if we are sorrowful in our hearts, if we're suffering? Why is that glory for someone who doesn't have faith? We can glory in this suffering because we know that God cares about us. Matthew says that God cares about the sparrows, and even more than the little birds, he cares about us, who we are, what troubles we're having. And so when we act faithful in our suffering, when we know that, hey, life is pretty trashy right now, but you know what? God is with us. He will be faithful. We can trust him. So we'll go forward, and even though it would be easy to just cop out and say, you know what, there's an easier way to do this, we can stick to the commandments given by God because we know that in the commandments given by God, he will fulfill his promises. He is a God that is faithful, and we can trust him. So when we act faithful in our suffering again and again and again, that's called enduring, persevering. It says, we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation plus faith produces perseverance. So back to the cherry pie here, we're stirring together this crust, I guess, this dough, making up some perseverance. So as you're going along, you start seeing that the tribulation, as we're mixing it all up together, is becoming perseverance. Now, what is perseverance? Perseverance is simply acting faithful in our suffering. Faith by its very nature is consistent. It's continuing to go, 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 despite whatever comes our way. Perseverance is shown by remembering the things earlier mentioned in this passage, the justification, the peace, the grace, and most of all, the hope that we can rejoice in for the future. Perseverance is shown when we focus not on ourselves, but on the blessings from others, this grace, this justification, this peace, this hope that will one day come. Now, there's more to it. If you keep on going, perseverance doesn't just end there. If you keep going again and again, if you endure in your suffering in faith, eventually you'll start to form some habits. If you do the same thing over and over again, that makes habits. And habits, if that's what we do the whole time, that becomes our character. Now, character is simply our default form of action. That is who we are naturally. So originally, we once were sinful. That was our character. We cared about ourselves. We focused inwardly. We didn't care about any other people. But because of this faith in God and this justification and this peace and this grace and this hope, we have the character of faith. Now, this faith, where does it say that we've been faithful? That faith happens from this stuff? So let's look at Abraham. Abraham, in verse 18, it says he was faithful, and it said, who, contrary to hope, in hope believed, so that he became the father of many nations, according to what was spoken, according to what was promised by God, because he acted faithful and consistently, so shall your descendants be. That was the promise. He acted on faith for that promise, and that was what was granted to him. But most of all, we know that the author and perfecter of our faith is Jesus Christ. So when we act again and again in faith through our suffering, through what happens bad, people see that and they begin to notice, hey, they're starting to look like somebody awesome. That somebody awesome is Jesus Christ, God himself. And that's somebody we want to be like. And so it says, and character produces hope. Well, and character, hope. When we know what God is like, when we walk in the same way he does, we know what God is like. And so we know that God is faithful because that's what God is like. When we are like God, we know that God is faithful and we can trust him. When we know that we can trust God to keep the promises that he's made, that's hope. When we know that we can trust God to keep the promises that he's made, we have more hope. So this right here is a recipe for hope. So tribulations turns to, well, so faith plus tribulation equals perseverance, equals character, equals hope. And that's the hope that we glory in. Now, through faith, because of love, our hope does not disappoint. Verse 5 reads, now hope does not disappoint because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who is given to us. Now, because we have faith and hope, we might call that the crust of this pie, that we are being molded into the image of Christ. We're being like him in character. And so, as we do that, we're starting to see the shape of this delicious pie. But we all know that a cherry pie is not a cherry pie unless it has cherries. It can have sugar. It can have the doughy crust. But without the real richness of the flavor, where is nothing? If we have faith and hope and don't have love, what's the point? We can have faith and hope in lots of things. Lots of things all over the place. It doesn't have to be in God. We can hope in something that does not fulfill its promises. We can have faith in something that may or may not work out. We could have faith in our own strength, for instance. But there's no guarantee that it will work out. However, we know that hope does not disappoint because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who is given to us. Because we have had faith and hope in God, God pours out into our hearts love. He fills us with love, which is the real richness, the real juice, the real inside of Christianity. That's where we actually make an impact. That's where other people see us. That's our flavor. That's our potency. And so, this love does not come from ourselves. This love does not come from some exterior, we have faith and we have hope in whatever. This love comes from God himself. It comes from him dwelling inside of us because the Holy Spirit was given to us. He's the one that pours out this love. It's not ourselves. And so we know that God's love is perfect. And when we act faithfully, when we act in hope, we know that God's love will be in us. And so, when God's love is in us, we know that our hope does not disappoint. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 13. And now abide faith, hope, love. These three. But the greatest of these is love. Because love is this potency, this flavor, it's the greatest of all. This is the center of this pie. Love is what we should really look forward to in these things. And so, because we have already had faith and love, we know that our hope will not disappoint us because we know whom we have our faith in. We know that we have faith in God, who always keeps his promises, whom we can trust. We know where this love comes from, this real love that's not molded around crust that's fallible and temporary, but it's around the character of Jesus Christ. We know where this real love comes from, and we know what holds in this love. It's the grace of God that holds in this love. And we know that our faith's in God, our love comes from God, and our hope is in God. So we know that because of these other two, our hope doesn't disappoint because our hope is in the exact same God who doesn't disappoint. Faith results in hope, and our hope will never disappoint because of love. Thank you.